The Arabian Nights, the 189th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Shams al-Nahar admonished the jeweler, adding, 'No secret is confined without trust, nor is an endeavour undertaken without ability. No success is achieved save with the help of the generous, nor is a serious matter entrusted save to a man of nobility and honour. Each man deserves to be thanked according to the kindliness of his intentions, the extent of his application, and the efficacy of his deeds. As for you, no man exceeds you in humanity and generosity. You know my secret, understand my situation, and see that I have been driven beyond my endurance. This girl, as you well know, I hold in trust and high favour, for she keeps my counsel and transacts my affairs. Therefore, trust her in everything she tells you or asks you to do, and you will be pleased. Besides, you will be safe from any danger, for we will not ask you to come to any place before making sure that it is secure. She will bring you news from me and act as our go-between.' Then she rose, hardly able to stand, and I saw her to the door of the house and returned, having seen of her beauty, witnessed of her actions, and heard of her speech what dazzled my eyes and captivated my mind. Then I changed my clothes and went to Ali ibn Bakar's house. His servants rushed toward me from all directions and brought me to him. I found him lying prostrate on the bed, and when he saw me he said, 'Welcome. You have tarried too long, and added worry to my worries. I have not closed my eyes since I saw you last. Yesterday, the girl came to me with a sealed letter,' and he went on to tell me all that had passed, adding, 'I am perplexed and my patience fails me, for I have neither the knowledge nor the power to find relief, for Abu al-Hassan was of great help and comfort to me, because she knew him and liked him.' I laughed and said, 'Why do you laugh at my tears and the tale of my trial and woe?' Then he recited the following verses: 'He who laughs at my tears would now have wept, had he suffered like me the pain I know. For none can feel compassion for the damned, save one like him who knows protracted woe.' When the jeweler heard this, he told Ali ibn Bakar all that had passed since the jeweler left him, and when he finished, Ali ibn Bakar wept bitterly and said, 'In any event, I am lost. May God grant me a speedy end, for I have lost all satisfaction, all patience, and all resolve, and were it not for you, I would have wasted away with passion and died of sorrow. You will be my comforter in my affliction until God's will is done, for His are the grace and the blessing, and His are the thanks and the praise. I will be your slave at your mercy, and I will contradict you in nothing, but follow you in everything.' The jeweler related later, 'I said to him, O my lord, nothing will quench this fire save your reunion. But this must not be in my house, which is exposed to danger and harmful consequences, but in another more suitable place of mine, which I prefer for the purpose. There the two of you will meet to converse, complain to each other of your suffering, and renew your vows, and you will be all by yourselves.' He replied, 'Do what you wish.' I stayed with him that night, entertaining him with conversation till daybreak. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, 'Sister, what a strange and entertaining story.' Shahrazad replied, 'What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 190th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "It is related, O happy king, that the jeweler said, 'I stayed with him that night and in the morning returned to my house, and hardly had I sat down when the maidservant arrived. I told her what had passed between Ali ibn Bakar and myself, and she said, "It is better if we meet at our place." I replied, "My place is safer." She said, "You are right. I will go to my lady, tell her what you have said, and convey to her your invitation." She went out and, returning soon, said, "Go to your other house and make it ready." Then she took out a purse and, giving it to me, said, "Use this money to buy food and drink." But I swore that I would never touch it, and she took the purse back and departed. I was still annoyed at her behaviour when I went to my other house. I took with me all the utensils in my possession, borrowed from every friend all sorts of fine vessels of gold and silver, carpets, drapes, and whatever else was needed, bought all the necessary provisions, and had everything ready. When the girl came and saw what I had done, she was pleased. I said to her, "Go now to Ali ibn Bakar, and bring him here secretly." She went out and brought him back, finely dressed, and looking all delicacy and grace. I received him with respect and courtesy, and, seating him on a couch, set before him the most marvellous vessels, and sat talking with him. The girl went away and returned after the evening prayer with Shams al-Nahar, attended only by two maids. When the two lovers saw each other, they were so overcome with passion that they stood still. Then they fell down in a swoon. It was a terrible sight. I endeavoured to revive him on one side, while the girl endeavoured to revive Shams al-Nahar on the other, until they came to themselves. When they regained some strength, they talked with each other for a while in a faint voice. Then I offered them some wine, and they drank, and I set food before them, and they ate. Then they fell to thanking me, and I asked them whether they would like some more wine, and they said that they would. So I took them to another room where they sat to drink, forgot their worries, enjoyed themselves, and grew merry, all the while feeling astonished and pleased with what I had done for them. Then Shams al-Nahar asked me, "Do you have a lute or some other musical instrument?" I replied, "Yes, indeed," and brought her a lute. She took it and, tuning it, played and sang with consummate skill. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said, "Sister, what a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this, compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 191st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the jeweler said, 'Shams al-Nahar took the lute and, tuning it, played and sang with consummate skill the following verses: If you are a true messenger, deliver and be coy no more. Say nothing save for my love's news, and let the truth my joy restore. And if he did deign to reply, even without him I will live. For with coyness he gains such charm that I will his coyness forgive.'" Then she sang these verses: "I lay sleepless as if in love with lack of sleep, and pined as if pining was made for me, as my tears coursed over my burning cheeks. Who can at once in fire and water be?" Her singing was so lovely that I had never heard anything like it before. But suddenly we heard terrifying noises and screams, and felt as if the house was going to cave in under us. Then a servant, whom I had ordered to stand at the door of the house, rushed in and said, Some unknown men have broken the door and are raiding the house. And while a maid screamed from the rooftop, 10 masked men wearing swords and holding daggers, followed by 10 more, attacked us. When I saw them, I ran out of the house and sought refuge in the house of one of my neighbors. And when I heard an uproar in my house, I concluded that the 2 lovers were found out and that they were being seized by the chief of police, and I remained in hiding till midnight. The jeweler did not dare to leave his hiding place. And when the master of the house came down and saw someone he did not recognize hiding in a corner of the hallway, he retreated with fright and returned with a drawn sword and asked, "Who are you?" The jeweler replied, "I am your friend so-and-so." The man threw the sword away and said to the jeweler, "I'm sorry for what has happened to you. May the generous God restore your substance." The jeweler said, "Oh, my lord, tell me who were the men who raided my house?" The man replied, "They are the same men who robbed so-and-so and killed so-and-so. Yesterday they saw you bring in many fine and valuable utensils, and they plotted to rob you. I think that they have either kidnapped your guest or killed him." Then the 2 men went to the jeweler's house, and when they entered, they found it stripped of everything and completely devastated, with broken doors and torn-out windows. The sight stunned the jeweler and broke his heart. And when he pondered upon his plight, what had happened to him, and what he had done to himself, he began to worry about how to break the news to the friends from whom he had borrowed all the gold and silver utensils, and how to make excuses to them. He also worried about Shams al-Nahar and Ali ibn Bakar, and feared lest the caliph should find out about them from one of the maids and put him to death. He turned to his neighbor and asked, "My friend, what shall I do? And what do you advise?" The man replied, "Be patient, keep calm, and trust in the Almighty God, for these same robbers have murdered some members of the household of the prefect of the police, as well as the caliph's own guard. The police are looking for them and patrolling the streets, but no one has yet found them or dared to confront them because there are so many of them." Accordingly, the jeweler called on God to protect him from harm and went home. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 192nd night. I heard, O happy king, that the jeweler called on God to protect him from harm and went home, saying to himself, "What has happened to me is just what Abu al-Hassan feared." Soon the people began to rush to him from all sides, some consoling him, some saying nothing, and others demanding their goods. While he thanked some, explained to some, and defended himself to others, feeling so unhappy that he did not touch any food all day. While the jeweler remained in this condition, one of his servants came in and said, "My lord, there is a man at the door asking for you, a stranger whom I have never seen before." When the jeweler went out, the man greeted him and said, "I have something to tell you." The jeweler said, "Come in." But the man replied, "No, let us go to your other house." The jeweler said, "Do I have any other house left?" The man replied, "I know your plight, and I bring you comfort." The jeweler related later, "I said to myself, I will go with him wherever he wishes." And then we went out and walked on until we came to my other house. But when he saw it, he said, "This house has no door, and we cannot sit here. Let us go somewhere else." Then he took me from place to place without stopping at any until the night overtook us. The jeweler followed the man in bewilderment without asking any questions until they reached the open country and found themselves at the river bank. Then the man said, "Follow me," and began to run. And the jeweler, summoning all his strength, ran after him until they came to a boat. They got into the boat, and the boatman rowed them to the other side where they landed. Then the man took the jeweler by the hand and led him to a long street that he had neither trodden before nor known to which part of Baghdad it belonged. Soon the man stopped at a door, opened it, and, taking the jeweler in, locked it with a large iron key and brought him before 10 men dressed alike. The jeweler greeted them, and they returned his greeting and bade him be seated, and he sat down, suffering from exhaustion and fright. Then they brought him some cold water with which he washed his hands and face, and gave him some wine which he drank. Then they brought food, and they all ate together. The jeweler said to himself, "If they had meant me any harm, they would not have eaten with me." After they washed their hands, they returned to their places, and when the jeweler took his seat before them, they asked him, "Do you know us?" He replied, "I do not know you, nor do I know the man who brought me here, or where we are." They said, "Tell us your case without lying." The jeweler said, "My case is strange. Do you know anything about it?" They replied, "Yes, it was we who took your goods yesterday and carried off your friend and the girl who was in your house." The jeweler said, "May God save you. Where are my friend and the girl?" They pointed to 2 doors facing them and said, "They are there, each in a separate room. They insisted that none besides you should know of their situation. And since then, we have never met them or questioned them. Their fine attire has puzzled us and stopped us from killing them. Tell us the truth about them and do not worry about yourself or them." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad, again, said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 193rd Night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that when the jeweler heard what they said, he almost died of fright and said to them, 'If generosity was lost, none would harbour it but you. If there existed a secret one fears to reveal, none would keep it but you. And if one faced a difficult problem, none would solve it but you.'" He went on to expatiate in his praise until he saw that it would be more expedient and more useful to tell the truth at once than to conceal it, particularly since it was bound to come out eventually. So he told them the whole story. And when he finished, they asked, "Is this young man then Ali ibn Bakar, and this young woman Shams al-Nahar?" He replied, "Yes, I've told you everything and kept nothing from you." They were upset, and expressing regret, went to the 2 lovers and apologized to them. The jeweler related later, "Then they said to me, 'Part of what we took from your house is gone, but here is what is left of it.' And they gave me back most of the gold and silver utensils, saying, 'We will carry them to your other house.'" Then they divided themselves into 2 groups, one to go with me, the other with the 2 lovers, who stood, almost died of fright, but their fear and desire to escape made them move and leave the house. As we walked, I turned to them and asked, "What happened to the girl and to your two maids?" Shams al-Nahar replied, "I know nothing about them." The men led us until we came to the river bank. Then they made us get into the same boat and rowed us to the other side. We landed, but no sooner had we stood on firm ground than we found ourselves surrounded by a group of horsemen. The robbers leapt into the boat like eagles and flew away, while we stood motionless on the shore. The horsemen asked, "Who are you?" And after some hesitation, I replied, "We were kidnapped yesterday by these robbers, but we implored them meekly until they took pity on us and released us, as you have seen." They looked at me and Ali ibn Bakar and Shams al-Nahar and said, "You are not telling the truth. Tell us who you are. What are your names and in what quarter you live?" I did not know what to answer. But Shams al-Nahar took the captain of the troop aside, and as soon as she spoke with him, he dismounted and, setting her on his horse, began to lead it along by the bridle. Two of his men did the same with Ali ibn Bakar and myself, and we rode on until we reached a spot on the river bank, where the captain called out to someone who came pulling two boats. The captain made the two lovers and myself get into one, while his men got into the other. Then the boatmen rowed us until, feeling almost dead from fright, we reached the Caliph's palace, where the captain disembarked with Shams al-Nahar, then motioned to the boatman who rowed us across the river to a spot that led to our quarter. We landed with two guards appointed for our protection, and when we reached Ali ibn Bakar's house, the two guards bade us goodbye. As soon as they were gone, we collapsed on the spot and lay fast asleep through that night and the next day. When I came to myself, it was nightfall, and I saw Ali ibn Bakar lying motionless, with the men and women of his household weeping over him. When they saw that I was awake, they made me sit up and said, "Tell us what has happened to him, for you are the cause of his misfortune and ruin." I said, "O people!" But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night, if the king spares me and lets me live?" The 194th night. The following night, Shahrazad replied to her sister, "Yes, I will continue the story. I heard, O happy king, that the jeweler said, 'When they questioned me about Ali ibn Bakar, I said, O people, do not press me, for his story cannot be told in public.' But while I was imploring them and trying to make them afraid of scandal, Ali ibn Bakar moved in his bed. The assembled people rejoiced, and some of them departed, while others stayed. But they refused to let me go home and do as I pleased. They sprinkled his face with rose water scented with powdered musk, and when he came to himself, they began to question him. But he was too weak to answer, and motioned to them to let me go home. I went out, hardly believing in my escape, and came home supported by two men. When my people saw me, they cried and beat their faces. But I motioned to them to stop. They did, and I sent the two men away and went to sleep. I slept the whole night, and when I awoke, I found my family, children, and friends standing around me. They asked, 'What has happened to you?' I called for water and washed my face and hands. Then I called for wine and drank it. Then changed my clothes and, after thanking my visitors, said, 'Wine overcame me and made me feel sick.' When the people left, I apologized to my family and promised to replace what they had lost. They told me that some of the goods had been returned already, that someone had thrown them into the hallway and disappeared in a hurry. For 2 days I lay quietly at home and was unable to do much. When I began to regain my strength, I went to the bath, still very much worried about the young man and the young lady. I did not dare to go near his house or visit any place for fear of meeting him, for I had repented to God of my former conduct, given alms in gratitude for my safety, and reconciled myself to my loss. Then I thought of going to a certain place to visit some friends and divert myself, for my ordeal had taken a heavy toll on me. I went out, remonstrating with myself, until I came to the cloth market and sat there for a while with a friend of mine. When I rose to go, I saw a woman standing before me, and when I looked at her closely, I recognized Shams al-Nahar's maid. At that moment, the world turned dark before my eyes, and I hurried away in a terrible fright, while she pursued me, saying, "My lord, stop and listen to what I have to say to you." But whenever I wanted to stop and speak with her, I was seized with fear until I reached a mosque in an unfrequented spot and went in. She went in after me, and expressing sorrow for me, asked me about my condition. I told her all that had happened to myself and to Ali ibn Bakar, then said, "Tell me what happened to you personally, and what happened to your lady after she left us." She replied, "As for myself, when I saw the men, fearing that they were the Caliph's officers who came to seize me and my mistress forthwith and take us to our ruin, I and the two maids fled over the rooftops from place to place, until we took refuge with some people who took pity on us and helped us reach our place early in the morning in the sorriest of plights. We concealed the situation, and I waited anxiously till nightfall, when I opened the river gate and, calling the same boatman, said to him, 'Damn it, go search the river and see if you can find a boat with a woman inside.' At midnight, I saw a boat approaching the gate with one man rowing, another standing up, and a woman lying in a corner. When the boat touched the jetty and the woman landed, I was surprised to see that it was my lady, and I rejoiced in her safety." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she again lapsed into silence. Then once again Dinarzad said to her sister, "What a strange and entertaining story." Shahrazad replied, "What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night? If the king spares me and lets me live, it will be stranger and even more amazing." The 195th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that the girl said to the jeweler, 'When I saw her, I rejoiced in her safety and went to help her. She bade me give the man who had brought her 1,000 dinars, and I thanked him and gave him the very purse that I had brought you and that you had refused to take. Then he departed, and I returned and locked the gate. Then I and 2 maidservants carried Shams al-Nahar, who was almost dead from exhaustion, and laid her on her bed. She slept the rest of that night and the following day, while I forbade the maidservants from going in. At last she awoke, as if she had risen from the dead, and I sprinkled her face with rose water scented with musk, washed her hands and feet, and changed her clothes. Then I made her drink some wine and, after a great effort, persuaded her to eat some food. As soon as she began to regain some energy, I remonstrated with her and said, 'You have suffered enough, and you have been close to death.' She said, 'Death would have been easier to me than what I have suffered. I was sure that I was going to be killed, and I gave myself up for lost.' When the robbers took us from the jeweler's house, they asked me who I was, and I said that I was a singing girl. Then they asked my beloved, and he replied that he was one of the common people. Then they took us to their place, and it was nothing but fear that gave us the strength to walk with them. But when we were with them in their place, and they looked at me and at my jewelry, they did not believe me, and said that no singing girl could have such jewelry, and asked me to tell them the truth. When I refused, they turned to my beloved, and saying that his attire was not that of a common man, asked him who he really was. When he and I remained silent, they asked us to tell them who was the owner of the house. When we replied that he was so-and-so, one of them said that he knew him and knew where he lived, adding that with luck he would bring him back immediately. Then they agreed to set me in one room by myself, and my beloved in another room by himself, and their chief asked us to rest there without fear until they found out who we were, assuring us that our lives and possessions would be safe. Then their comrade went out and brought that man, meaning you, and when he revealed to them who we were, they apologized and went out at once, and bringing a boat, put us in it and rowed us to the other side. There the captain of the night patrol fell upon us, and I motioned him aside and said to him that I was so-and-so, and that I had had too much to drink, and had gone to visit some lady friends of mine, when these men, with whom I met these two gentlemen, came by and brought us all here. Then I added that I had the wherewithal to reward him, and he dismounted and placed me on his horse, and bade his men do the same with Ali ibn Bakar and the jeweller. At last I arrived, as you saw, without knowing what had happened to Ali ibn Bakar or the jeweller. My heart is on fire for them, especially for the jeweller who had lost his goods. Take some money and go to him and inquire about Ali ibn Bakar. I chided her and warned her to be careful, saying, "Fear God, give up this intrigue, and instead console yourself with patience." But she was angry at my words and yelled at me. So I left her, and going out to look for you, came to your house. I did not dare to go to Ali ibn Bakar. Now I stand here to serve you. Please accept the money, for your need is evident, since you must compensate your friends for their loss. The jeweller related later, "I rose and walked out with her until we came to a certain place, and she said, 'Wait here until I come back.' But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. Then Dinarzad said to her sister Shahrazad, 'Sister, what a strange and entertaining story.' Shahrazad replied, 'What is this compared with what I shall tell you tomorrow night?'